Welcome to Traffica Europe Radio, Europe's literary radio station, free online. I'm Clayton McKee, and I'm excited to be presenting you this week an interview that I conducted with Michelle, or Mish, Beyer. Before I get into the episode, I'd first like to mention that we have another audio excerpt being read out loud for our audiobook listener members. If you're interested in becoming a member, please check out patreon.com/traffica-europe. Finally, I'd also like to mention that we're still accepting submissions for our upcoming journal issue with the theme of recrudescence. Recrudescence means becoming raw again or starting afresh. We're taking this theme as we're also starting a new page in our journey. If you're interested in submitting to Traffica Europe, please check out our submissions guidelines at trafficaeurope.org/submissions. Whether your text is related to recrudescence or not, we would love to take a look at it and love to consider it for our journal. There's no fee whatsoever to submit. Just before we hear from Michelle Beyer, I'd like to mention that Michelle's writing is a part of Essential New Literature of Lesser-Known Languages of Europe. Head to www.traficaeurope.org and click on the journal issue to read the excerpt published bilingually in Breton and in English of The Destiny of the One Who Wrote. Now, let's get into the interview. This interview was a written correspondence between myself and Mish Beyer in French language. I want to take a moment to thank Veronica Miskolvietz. She was Traffica Europe's intern in summer 2023, and she so kindly voiced Mish Beyer's words in my English translation. My first question to Mish Beyer was to simply introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Michelle Beyer, and I'm 74 years old. I was born in Douarnenez, where I currently live. Before my hometown, I lived here and there. Paris, Quimper, Rennes, Baltimore and the Mont of Arre. I completed my studies in classic and modern letters in Paris. I worked in a lot of different domains, but my main job of 8 years was as a teacher in maternal and primary Dewan schools, which is a network of Breton language immersive schools. Then, for about 20 years, I was an instructor for adults in Breton learning structures, for example, Stumdy, Rodour, and Calen.
What's your relationship to the Breton language? Did you speak the language at home when you were young? Or did you learn it in school? Maybe both. Tell us a little bit about that.
My family came from various regions of France. My dad was from Alsace and French Flanders. My mother was from Brittany. I learned a lot of Breton when I was a child from my mother, family, and from nearby neighbors. But that suddenly stopped when I went to primary school in the Parisian region. I miss Breton, and I started studying it when I was a teenager. At first it was by letter, and then later, when I returned to my home region, I took night classes, went to immersive workshops, and talked to childhood Breton-speaking friends.
What's the situation of Breton in Bretagne today? Or in France more generally?
What a tough question. We estimate that there are about 280,000 speakers, with a quickly disappearing number of elders, of which the majority spoke Breton but did not read or write in their language because it was forbidden at school. But luckily, since the birth of the Dewan immersive schools in 1977, then the implementation of private and public bilingual channels, as well as the growing number of organizations for adult education, which propose long courses of 6 or 9 months, the situation is changing. The majority of new speakers are coming from urban areas, and the majority of them are young. Furthermore, for the last 20 years or so, Breton has become a source of employment for teaching, sociocultural entertainment, media, cinema, and even computing. I don't have a lot of stats in mind, but I think that the image of Breton has changed a lot. One of the signs of this larger visibility is the appearance of Breton on road signs in cities, in certain administrations, or it's used by companies, at least in terms of advertising. There's more visibility, but we are still in a very precarious situation. The French state does everything to halt and hinder this progress. The official dogma of French is that it's the language of the Republic, and the centralist force is wreaking havoc.
Tell us a little bit about your career as a writer. How many books have you published? Do you only write in Breton, or do you also write in French? Are there any themes that really draw you in, or do you write about what inspires you in the moment?
I started writing when I was a primary and maternal school teacher because we sorely missed books for children. So I wrote 3 novels and 1 short story collection for children and young teens. Then I stopped because of not having enough time. I got back into writing in the early 2000s, but for adults this time. Planeden Part Bloon is my 13th published book. I only write in Brighton. Inspiration is difficult to define. It varies. There are a lot of things that are tied to social relations between people, including violence. My stories range from today to older times, the Middle Ages, the 17th century, etc. There are connections to art, individuals, society, and more. Sometimes it's one person in particular who inspires me, but it's only a jumping off point. Amongst my books, there are 3 detective novels, because it's a literary genre that I love, but also because between 2 books that are serious, it's really relaxing to work on a crime novel.
In 2022, you published the book that is translated in our journal as The Destiny of the One Who Wrote. We're so happy to include that in our 24th edition of the journal. Could you tell us a little bit about what the book's about?
I often say it's easier to write a book than to summarize one. This one is a very incomplete story about a young man living in a difficult time between war and sickness.
Why did you decide to write a story set in 1920? And why a concentration on the need to physically and psychologically heal?
I was inspired by my great uncle for the main character. I was very close to him, and he was about 20 years old at the beginning of the First World War, from 1914 to 1918. He also had tuberculosis before dying at just around 100 years old. But it's not a biography whatsoever. I played off of his real life a lot. I wanted to write the story because I saw in it a ton of similarities with the worries and anxieties of youth today. The pandemic, stress and risk of widespread war, etc. Yeong also learned to change the world, but their hopes seemed blocked.
Of course, the choice of language for a publication is extremely important. There are a lot of writers and scholars, particularly who focus or who are from the continent of Africa, that wonder if it's better to publish in a language from colonization, to have a wider public, or a native language of the area from which the author comes, for a more localized audience. Why do you choose to write in Breton? What does the language or the region do for you in terms of either your publication or for your inspiration?
I never really thought about the choice of language. Breton is the language that I chose for my family, professional, and activist life. I live in a country in which language is very mistreated by the centralist state. We need books in our language. The young need it. French language readers have a ton of things to read already. There's no need to add further to it. Breton language readers, even if they're a minority, they need materials. We need new writers as well. It's important to show others the path, to show that it's possible to create and be creative in our own language. But what I'm saying is not just true for literature. It's needed as well for cinema, theater, music, and its diverse genres, rock, slam, rap, traditional, etc. It's really needed across all types of media and cultural production.
Are there any resources or ways to support the Breton language and culture? If, do you have any other books or sites or anything that you've particularly worked on that has been established to help support the ecosystem of Breton language?
There are a ton of associations that offer language classes. Here are 3. Skol Alamsov allows people to take classes in Rene, Nante, or even online. You can access their site at skolalamsov.bzh. SUMDI is another organization that provides classes for language. You can go to SUMDI.bzh for information on this organization. Last is Mervant. You can access it at Mervant.bzh, and it also has various classes and resources to learn for those interested. There are also full university curriculum in Breton that go the whole way through doctorate level, in particular in Rene. There are also professional trainings and teacher trainings. For those who have attained a level that is sufficient to live their daily life in Breton, there's an immersive summer training where you can come with your whole family for 1 to 2 weeks. You can find information about this immersive camp at keav.bzh. Honestly, there are a ton of resources out there, and it's impossible to make a full list.
What are you working on now? What are your future projects?
I don't really have too many writing projects at the moment, but I'm translating a lot. I'm translating for French and Breton, The House of the People by Louis Guillou, A Rector of the Ile de Seine by Henry Kerfelec, The Empires of the Moon by Sémigny Sermano de Bergerac, which is a political science film, science fiction novel from the 17th century. At this very moment, I am collaborating with an Icelandic translator friend on the translation of John Kalman Stephenson's trilogy. I also do technical translations for expositions, associations, various research projects for local cultural heritage. I also participate in a commission on literary translation under the guidance of the Regional Council for the Public Office of Breton Language, which financially helps editors and translators through the translation of important works of world literature.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Traffic at Europe Radio. This has been a conversation between me and Mish Beyer, voiced by Veronica Miskovietz. If you'd like to read this interview, you can find a copy of it post on Traffic at Europe. Tune in next week to hear a conversation between Clayton McKee and Yiddish translator Jordan Kutzik. If you've enjoyed this episode and you enjoy what we do here at Traffic at Europe, please consider becoming a member. You can go to patreon.com/traffic at Europe to learn more about the different tiers of membership that we have and the benefits that come along with that. Additionally, there's a way to just donate one time to the project. Check out our GoFundMe that is linked on our webpage, www.traffic at Europe.org. If you're not able to financially support the project, we would greatly appreciate it if you could like, comment, or share this podcast or anything that we do at Traffic at Europe to help us reach a wider audience. Traffic at Europe is a non-profit organization that hopes to create a larger community surrounding European literature and culture. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. Thank you.